Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The people of Israel were indeed in deadly peril. After the Passover, Pharaoh finally did relent and let Israel go, but it didn't take him very long to change his mind about it. So he gathered up his army and he set out in pursuit, intending to take Israel back. At the Red Sea, in front of them, a fleet of chariots behind them, it appeared that Israel really was trapped. They didn't have time to go around the sea. They had no way to cross it and were hardly prepared to fight against the mighty Egyptians in battle. They had no way to save themselves, and there was no way out, which means God had them right where he wanted them, for he knew that he would save. The Lord told Moses, "Raise your staff and outstretch your arm across the sea, and the waters would be parted, and the Israelites would be able to pass and pass on dry ground nonetheless." And it was just as God had said it would be. Like a canyon made of water, the people of Israel passed safely through the Red Sea. And when they'd made it through, the Lord God told Moses to reverse the process. And when he did, the waters fell back into place. Thus Moses wrote, "The Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians." Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. Seeing that they had been saved by the Lord's power, Israel trusted the Lord their God all the more, and in Moses, their divinely appointed leader. So embarking upon this new life as the newly redeemed people of God, they set out from that place to wherever God decided to lead them. There was indeed a very long journey ahead, and actually much longer than what the Lord had originally intended. But through God's gracious deliverance, a new day had dawned for Israel. Now, when we look back at that Red Sea crossing, we can marvel about what God did for those Israelites. But what's even more important to marvel at is the fact that God did that for the Israelites, but he also did it for us. By saving the nation of Israel from Pharaoh, God had worked to preserve the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in doing so, kept alive the promises that he had made to Abraham, including that great promise that there would indeed be an offspring of Abraham, of whom would be the blessing to all the nations of the earth. More than that, not only did God preserve his promise to send his Savior, but as he delivered Israel through the waters of the Red Sea, he also gives us a preview of that promised Savior and how that Savior would also deliver us. Because apart from Christ, we all face that same mortal peril of deadly enemies. The devil desires and seeks our destruction. Our own sinful nature plays into Satan's hand. And because of our sin, death, like a dark shadow, hounds us all the days of our lives. Threatened by these dangers, it would seem that we are trapped because we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. We are woefully unarmed, powerless to do anything against sin, death, and the devil, and every direction we look seems to be blocked to us. But again, when there doesn't seem to be a way out, God then makes a way. The God who gave Moses to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt gives us his own son to free us from our enemies of sin, death, and hell. He who made a way for Israel makes a way for you as well. The Lord directed Moses to lift up his staff of wood and stretch out his arm over the sea. That made a way for Israel, but Christ too is lifted up upon a cross of wood, arms stretched out over the mountain of Calvary. Like the people of Israel, we are safely delivered from our enemies. While Moses too passed through unharmed, Christ secures our safety, but he secures our safety at his own great risk and peril to save us from sinking down into the depths of judgment over our sin. Christ makes a safe path for us to the shores of freedom. And as he cut off the devil's pursuit of our souls, so too Christ himself is then crushed by the waves of our own judgment. By his death, he has saved us from death. By his exodus, he has saved us from death. When Christ was crucified, died, and buried, it certainly appeared that the way of Christ had really indeed come to its end. And once again, when there seemed to be no way out, God makes a way. And in vindication of this self-sacrificing Savior, God lifts him up out of the mires and depths and then delivers our deliverer. Christ is raised to life, never to die again. And by his resurrection, he opens the way to us for everlasting life. In fact, not only does Christ open that way to us, not only does he make that way for us, he himself tells us that he is that way. And in him we find life. For Christ himself is the life of all people. So he now comes to us to bring us life and to bring that life to us personally, that in him we may have life. And not just have life, but that we might have it abundantly. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. As the Lord once delivered the Israelites to a new life through the waters of the Red Sea, he now delivers each and every one of you personally through the waters of holy baptism. Our sinful nature is drowned, and we emerge safely on the other side. Luther makes this crystal clear in his baptismal prayer. We say at every baptism that we do, the Almighty, Eternal God, you drowned the hard-hearted Pharaoh and all of his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of holy baptism. By water and by the word, we have been baptized into Christ, and the saving benefits of his death and resurrection are thereby applied to us. So when you think of your baptism, you have every right to think of that as your own personal exodus. The Lord has freed you through the washing and the rebirth of water. In Christ Jesus, you have been set free, and the fullness of life is yours. Rejoice in those great gifts that God has given unto you. Rejoice and be thankful, now and forever. Amen.